I'm Nicole.
And I'm Brandon, and this is Spectrum Sessions,
where we talk about all things late diagnosis. We're also therapists and come at this with not only personal experience, but clinical experience as well.
Hello, this episode will be on all things therapy. Today we're going to be discussing therapy for autistic adults. Actually, I'm not going to do that voice. We'll discuss the challenges that autistic folks face in finding the right support, how traditional therapy models may need to adapt, and what approaches work best for fostering trust and connection. We'll also discuss the challenges therapists may run into when working with autistic folks if you are a therapist. Autistic or supporting a loved one who is autistic, this episode offers valuable insights into navigating therapy from both angles in a way that respects neurodivergent experiences. Let's dive in.
First, we're going to discuss the experience of being an autistic client. So, what are some things to look for in a neurodiversity affirming therapist? Somebody who is neurodiversity affirming recognizes neurobiological differences are natural and a valuable part of human diversity rather than something that needs to be fixed or cured. Look for a therapist who respects your autonomy, someone who allows you to define your own goals without pushing their own agenda, and encourages you to express yourself naturally in how you think, feel, and communicate, rather than trying to change these fundamental aspects. The therapist won't focus on enforcing neurotypical social behaviors, such as eliminating stimming or challenging your special interests. Instead, they'll encourage self-soothing and special interests that are unique to you. The therapist should also use inclusive language that respects your preferences. So, for example, if you prefer person-first language, like autistic person, rather than a person with autism, they should adapt and use that language.
As an autistic person, you are enough, already just being who you are. A therapist who works well with the autism community will start with this as the foundation of treatment. Learning to live in a neurotypical world shouldn't make you feel like you have to fundamentally change who you are. You are just complimenting someone who is already unique and beautiful in their own way. Like Nicole said, a therapist who works well with an autistic client will never make you feel like you have to be someone you aren't. More than anything, you should never feel judged during therapy. As the client, you have the power to decide where you want the sessions to go. If you feel that your therapist is taking the sessions away from your comfort zone, what you want to work on, or is going at a pace that you don't feel comfortable with, it is perfectly okay to point that out to them. In most cases, the therapist doesn't even realize they're doing it.
And simply being comfortable in doing this as an autistic client teaches you how to advocate for yourself, you know, not only in the room with a therapist, but also outside of the therapy room, which is really important. And I think that by improving these communication skills within therapy, they can begin to develop their confidence to talk to people, you know, like their supervisor or boss, or anyone else, you know, that they need to discuss their needs with. So some barriers to treatment for autistic folks include, you know, really long wait lists to get in with a therapist. There's also like communication difficulties. So for example, if an autistic client has to initiate the phone call to establish care, that can be really difficult. And the good thing is that there is Psychology Today, or a lot of therapy practices have their own websites where you can contact them through email, and that might take some of the pressure off. But there's also other social aspects that create discomfort in simply attending, you know, sessions with essentially a stranger, right? And there's also difficulty with executive function issues that can lead to missed appointments, difficulty following through with assigned homework, and alexithymia, as we discussed previously, where autistic people cannot easily identify or express their own emotions. Dr. Devin Price makes a good point in their book, Unmasking Autism, that autistic people are conditioned to ignore our own feelings and be hypersensitive and overly cautious of monitoring other people's emotions to be compliant, resulting in not being trained to understand our own emotions.
as you said, Nicole, assigning homework as a therapist can be frustrating because the success rate of people completing it can be pretty darn low. And, you know, you kind of just like really, really want to see the client improve, and it can be frustrating. But, you know, for people with autism, like what are some ways do you think that they could start to complete some of these outside of therapy homework assignments? Is there techniques you could use?
I think, you know, it's just dependent on the person. Like some people really love it and like they get energized by homework and that's great. But then, you know, to your point, like you said, other people don't follow through. And I think the first thing that comes to my mind is whatever, you know, worksheet or workbook you want to work on with them, instead of just leaving them to their own devices, I think doing it in session is really helpful, and it, you know, accomplishes what you want to accomplish, and, you know, they don't struggle with remembering to do it outside of the session.
Yeah, no, I've had success with that too with clients I've had that have autism is really just kind of getting them engaged in what the homework's going to be, whether it's, you know, a social homework, you know, putting themselves in a social situation or a resource. It's up to you as a therapist to kind of make it exciting and make it interesting for the client. Communication can be difficult for people with autism. It's hard to make eye contact. You may be someone who doesn't like to talk a lot or someone who rambles. A good neurodiverse therapist can work with both communication styles by reviewing resources relevant to what the client is working on if the client isn't really talkative, and paying attention to the important aspects of a client's rambling and begin to explore thoughts, feelings, and emotions that way. They also know how to tailor the sessions to where the client is on the spectrum.
So now we're going to talk about the other side. So therapists working with autistic clients. How do you build rapport with autistic clients as a therapist? My biggest piece of advice is to be yourself. Autistic clients can see through any BS. Use direct language. Don't use sarcasm or overly clinical language. Use special interests as a way to build rapport. And maybe you can even utilize certain special interests when describing therapeutic tools or approaches. If you don't know anything about the client's special interests, ask them to tell you. We love to talk about our special interests. When in doubt, ask, what can I do to help you feel comfortable in therapy? Listen without judgment. Clients may need more time to process and may give more detail than you're used to. Don't try to change the way in which they express themselves. Don't rush the process. Building rapport with autistic clients can take time. And speaking of time, autistic clients may feel extremely uncomfortable if you are late to a session, even by just a few minutes, so be mindful of that.
You can review the length of sessions with the autistic client. Because 55 minutes can be a lot, you can also give them 45 minutes or 30-minute options for sessions as well. There's an importance of structure, predictability, and transparency in sessions. Autistic people don't like change. It may feel like you are rehashing the same things repeatedly. As a therapist who also has autism, it doesn't mean that they aren't getting anything out of the sessions. It takes longer to process things, which is why people with autism will repeat themselves. It's especially important to go at the pace the autistic client sets. Things moving too fast can be overwhelming.
So there's ways to adapt to unique sensory and communication needs of our clients. If a client is more comfortable with written communication, offer them the option to read their notes app in their phone, or maybe offer them to send an email with tough topics that they hesitate to express verbally and on the spot. Autistic people often need more time to process than neurotypical people, so give them time. Use clear language and don't use weird analogies. If they don't like overhead lights, turn on the floor lamp in your office. If they need to fidget or stim during sessions, encourage that. Let the client choose where they would like to sit in your office. Don't overanalyze eye contact with autistic clients. Just because they aren't making eye contact does not automatically mean they are not engaged. Don't rely on body language or facial expressions. Pay attention to their words. Check in with clients periodically and ask them, what helps you feel comfortable? And can I do anything differently to better support you? As they may not feel comfortable advocating for themselves or notify you if there's something that you're doing that does not work well for them. It's also important to consider that trauma may present differently in autistic people. Autistic people are more likely to experience trauma throughout their lifetime due to a higher likelihood of encountering traumas such as bullying, medical trauma, sexual abuse, social exclusion, sensory overload, and invalidating experiences. Autistic people are at higher risk of developing CPTSD, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, which is a stress-related mental disorder that occurs in response to complex traumas. For example, commonly prolonged or repetitive exposures to a series of traumatic events within which individuals perceive little or no chance to escape. Many autistic people also experience dysregulation of the autonomic nervous system, which can lead to GI issues, heart rate variability, headaches, and other physical symptoms that overlap with CPTSD somatic symptoms. This can include a heightened fight or flight response, where the client experiences physical symptoms as a part of their trauma response, which then is exacerbated by sensory sensitivity and invalidating environments.
Here's an overview of helpful therapeutic approaches and modalities that could be effective for a client with autism. Firstly, there's cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, as we discussed in our last episode. This focuses on identifying and changing negative thought patterns and behaviors. A therapist helps the patient create a plan to change these behaviors using coping skills and other tools. Another therapy modality is dialectical behavioral therapy, DBT. It combines acceptance and change strategies to address emotional dysregulation. DBT focuses on improving emotional regulation, reducing impulsive behavior, and developing interpersonal skills. And lastly, acceptance and commitment therapy, ACT, focuses on acceptance and mindfulness. It promotes a non-judgmental awareness of thoughts and emotions. ACT helps people accept the feelings and take actions towards becoming more optimistic. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Spectrum Sessions. We hope today's conversation sheds light on the complexities and possibilities of therapy for autistic folks, whether you are seeking support as a client, providing it as a therapist, or just wanting to learn more. We hope you found today's episode helpful. We love to hear your thoughts, questions, or experiences, so please feel free to reach out and connect with us. And remember, the most important thing is be like a bee. Be yourself and stay curious.